Hey guys, on this episode of Get Real Podcast, I have Summer Fawn Carolyn Duncan. Yes, we talk about all four of her names, which is amazing. She is the beautiful girlfriend of John Party. They just celebrated their 2-year anniversary. And this was a really fun episode because Michael and I went over to their house and cooked dinner afterwards, and we had a blast. Love them so much. Summer is so cool. She's so drop-dead gorgeous, and she's just the coolest, most laid-back chick in the world. The story of how John and Summer met is amazing. Summer is an incredible hairstylist, and she was living in California, and her client was really good friends with John's mom. And so John's mom and her client basically set John and Summer up. And their first date was John flying Summer out to Colorado to come to one of his shows. Neither one of them knew each other. They had only heard about each other from Summer's client and, of course, John's mom. And it was just a blind date for the whole weekend. It went amazing. They fell in love instantly. She tells me so many great things about John, like how great he is at communicating, how he's so sentimental. It, really sweet stuff. Like, this sweet, big old cowboy is such a little sentimental heart, and it's amazing. And they're such a great match. And she also talks about the biggest fight they ever had, which had to do with her perfect Christmas tree. You're not going to want to miss that. So here is Summer. Fawn is your middle name.
Fawn is my first. Summer Fawn is one.
Summer Fawn.
Summer Fawn.
Do people call you Summer Fawn?
No. But I've been called Fawn and I've been called Summer, but no Summer Fawn.
But you're supposed to be called technically Summer Fawn.
Technically. It's a hyphenated Summer Fawn. Carolyn is the middle.
There's another one?
Mm-hmm.
Caroline?
Carolyn. Carolyn. I mean, I'll do Caroline.
Summer Fawn, Carolyn Duncan.
Yeah.
Okay, are you like British or something?
Horrible for names. Signing like legal documents. No British, no nothing. I forget which parent chose which name, but they were like arguing over Summer versus Fawn. So they're like, well, Summer Fawn.
I love
and
it.
And then Caroline is my grandma.
I love that. Okay, so you are just like covered in the name department.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a very exciting upbringing. And it has to do with your dad in particular.
Yes.
Because he is like, y'all like raised all sorts of exotic animals. And you're from California.
Yes.
And you grew up with like zebras.
All things.
What kind of animals did you grow up with?
Oh, zebras, donkeys, mini donkeys to be exact. Mini ponies, regular size horses, rams, I mean pigs, peacocks, dogs.
What did you do with all these animals?
They're just pets.
They were all pets?
All pets. My dad, growing up, was like an animal fanatic. He had like a pet boa constrictor that lived under his bed.
What?
And he had a pet alligator, I think. I mean, maybe I made this up, but I'm pretty sure he had a pet alligator that lived in his pool for a point in time.
What?
Just crazy things. He had a pet skunk.
I always wanted a pet skunk. Was it de-sacked?
It was de-skunked. Yeah,
so it didn't like spray on him?
No.
Did he just love animals?
He loves animals.
And he just like hangs out with them all? What does he do with all of them?
They're just there.
So you like, kind of lived on like a farm?
Yeah. It's like a ranch. It's 20 acres divided into two pastures and then the house. And it's just fun. It was like you wake up, you go out there, you feed the animals, and then they just do their thing all day. And you come back, you feed them again. And they're just fun. It's like, just something peaceful about it.
Yeah.
You know, like. When I lived out there for a point in time, obviously after my whole childhood, but I was building a house. And so I moved there for like the 6-month period. And I lived in the guest house, which was above the barn. And so like I had to get used to all of the pigeons doing their little coos because my bedroom was right above their little stall.
So you have pet pigeons also?
So we have pigeons that my dad tie-dyes. They're homing pigeons.
He tie-dyes
them? He tie-dyes them.
So they're all like multicolored?
They're so colorful. I'll show you a video later. They're so colorful. It's amazing. So there's like 20 of them and they fly in this, you know, massive circle together.
All tie-dyed.
And they're all tie-dyed. And they love it.
Oh.
Like they actually love it.
Is your dad, like, is he just the craziest?
He's crazy.
What's he like? What is it like growing up with a crazy with animal loving fool?
The best ever.
Is he just like an adventure adrenaline junkie?
Yes. Which I don't know how my mom has handled it for this long, but they work well. But yeah, he's a wild man. And he loves adventure and he loves thrill seeking things. And I mean, we've talked about your dad and my dad and not ever meeting.
Then they try to go like
do one up each other
and survive in some like foreign wilderness.
Yes.
With yeah. all the
my animals. Dad could easily be on like Naked and Afraid.
Oh,
or yes. Survivor
and love it. You have he to tell the story about the zebra with your dad's finger.
Oh,
because that to me is like
so.
Yeah.
Zebra finger, Larry the Animal Man.
Zebra.
So pet zebra Newman. Newman was the OG zebra. Get in there.
Yeah.
And so my dad being like Noah's Ark, modern day, decided that every other animal we have has like a pair or more.
Because they need a buddy.
Right. So aside from like we have a mini bull named Wee Man and he's the only mini bull that we have, but he loves to hang out with like the donkeys. So they're his people. And so Newman was the only zebra. And so my dad's like, well, I should get him a girlfriend. And so we then got Juliet. Little did we know that apparently zebras being like wild animals don't do well with competition.
Even if it's opposite sex?
Well, Newman was like in love with my dad.
Oh.
So like,
oh.
My dad is Newman's person.
And Newman's not the weeble, he's the zebra.
Newman's the zebra.
Okay.
So we brought Juliet in, so then Newman and Juliet then fought for my dad's attention.
Even though your dad was just trying to get him a girlfriend.
Yes.
He was just trying to get him laid, man.
Just trying to get him something, you know? Like. So long story short, we had to separate them into separate pastures, but it's fine now. Juliet, she's a whole other story. But my dad, I mean, he's 72. He's had years of experience with feeding animals. And like everyone knows if you're going to feed a horse or like an animal, you tuck your fingers and pull them back.
Okay. Yeah.
And you keep them together so you don't have, you know,
a finger out
loose
there.
Limbs to be chomped on. And he was feeding Newman with his left hand one day, just some oats. And like, I don't know if he looked away momentarily or if he just like got relaxed and his middle finger kind of curled up. And then it was gone.
Newman just like, bit
just,
it off.
Just bit it off.
Did he eat it?
He ate it.
No!
He ate it. And then not only does my dad, like, a normal human would be like, oh my God, I have to go to the doctor or like the hospital, whatever. He gets out his phone and starts Instagramming and recording live video of his finger missing with like the bone and just blood. And I'm like,
does he think it's awesome?
He thinks it's amazing.
Is he so glad the zebra ate his finger?
I mean, I'm sure at this point, like it's probably like a 50-50, but.
Is it a great conversation piece
God,
for him?
It's he, yeah. The insurance people, that was his favorite, I think, when they called to like figure out what the deal is with the hospital bill and like the story. Well, my zebra bit my finger off. I mean, can you get that covered? I don't know. But he filmed everything. He filmed it from the moment he bit it off, and he filmed it in the kitchen when he was talking to my mom, and then he filmed it at the actual hospital where they were cutting it and stitching it. I'm like, I don't think that's legal, but he did it.
Oh my gosh.
So
you just had a wild childhood.
I had a very fun childhood.
What's one of your best memories of growing up? That just brings you so much happiness when you think about it.
I mean, probably just ranch life. Like, I mean, obviously it's back before internet and all those things of being, you know, a teenager and AOL dial up, but just being a kid out on the ranch and catching tadpoles. And that was one thing that my brother and I always did was we had a little pond, like not a legit pond, but a down by our fence, water would collect. And then we'd go catch tadpoles. And every year my dad catches, you know, some gopher snakes and king snakes. And we got to play with those. It was just, I think growing up like on the ranch and then with all the animals.
And does your brother have an awesome name too?
He is Hawk.
Hawk.
Hawk, like the bird.
Hawk.
Chase Robert Hawk Duncan, but I think he may have legally changed it at some point.
So y'all are a four name family.
We're four name.
Chase Robert Hawk family. I mean, mm-hmm. Duncan.
Yeah.
I just love us. That. Okay, so then, so you grow up, you have this awesome exotic childhood. Yes. You are like living such a fun life.
It was fun.
And out in California. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, I freaking love hair. I'm going to go to hair school.
Hair started when I was about 14. Okay, I knew I loved it. How did you find this passion? I would get my hair done and then I would go home.
And fix it?
And fix it. Like my mom would pay whatever amount I'm sure was not like appropriate for a 14-year-old, but I had to have highlights.
Oh, of course.
And so she would pay for this to get done. And then I would like go home and fry my hair off with, you know, box bleach from Save Mart. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So, but I started cutting hair, I think, oh gosh, I was probably 17 and I was working at our family business and we had a big warehouse where we would do like tie dye and stuff.
What's the family business?
It started as Duncan Enterprise or Duncan Ceramics. And then it went to, I Love to Create. It's just all arts and crafts. So any kind of tie dye you've ever done or any kind of tulip fabric paints or scribbles, any kind of iron-on crystals or just fun, like all kinds of arts and crafts.
Okay.
Anything.
Okay, just creative.
Creative. So I used to be in design and marketing, and so I got to make the displays for like Michael's. Ooh. And Joanne's. Like you can create this with these products. And so I would create that finished look.
And then it'd go to the stores.
And they'd go to the stores.
That's kind of
and
exciting.
And so after hours, we would cut hair in like the big aisles of the warehouse.
Just for fun?
Just for fun. A couple of the girls there that trusted me. Not, I don't know why, but.
In the aisles of the stores, you'd just be cutting hair. Okay.
So long story short, it turned out fine.
So you're like, okay, this is a passion and I want to pursue this.
So then I started assisting the girl. I was my senior year of high school. Or maybe right when I graduated, I was what, 17, 18. So I started assisting the lady that had done my hair this whole time. Learned from her, did a little bit of the apprentice program, and then I transferred everything to beauty school and finished there and went straight to working at a salon. And then at 22, I opened up my salon.
How was that to open your own salon at 22? Were you amazing? Freaked, or were you just ready?
I was so excited. And my dad was like, you're basically like batshit crazy. And it was not a strong point in the economy and just a small business. Like everything was a bad idea from his standpoint of being in business for so many years. And so I had like my dad, who's this realist, my mom, who's an optimist. So she's like, it's going to be great.
How was it?
It was great.
It was great.
It was great. And my uncle, who had passed away years ago, had left me a little bit of money. And so, you know, it was supposed to be for college, but I did the beauty school thing. And so I asked my dad if he, you know, do you think that Gary would be okay with me spending money on this? And he's like, I mean, if that's what you want to do, like, sure. And so I opened that at 22 and had 13 girls working for me.
Dang, sister.
So it was fun. And great girls. We're all still a team now. Like, fast forward, my best friend now has a salon and all the girls went with her when I moved out here. So when I go home and do hair, we all just still be together, which is fun.
Okay, so you kind of, so then your story takes a turn because you meet John Party.
John.
And Sir that John. Is why you moved out here, for the party animal himself.
Party, 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 yes.
So you guys have quite the interesting meeting because your mother's introduced you, right?
His mom and my client.
Okay, so how did that happen?
So his mom, okay, my client, longtime client, family friend.
But how do y'all even know each other? Because you're over here. Is he from California?
He's from California, but we didn't know each other. So,
is his mom living in California?
Yeah. So she lives up north and I grew up like 3 hours south of where he was from. And so my client had been friends with his mom for years, like long time years. And so they had stayed in touch with all the moves and whatnot. And
because John moved a lot?
No, but my client moving like to down south and then to Fresno, and then his mom always stayed up north.
Okay.
But they still remain friends. So my client Ellen would go up to visit his mom, and
so they were like legit friends.
They were friends. Like they have a whole group of girlfriends. I forget. Do I call it the Yayas or something? I don't remember.
Okay.
Maybe I made that up. I don't know. But they all stayed in touch, and so I guess they were talking one day. I don't really know the full story because it's kind of like a blur now thinking back. But I remember getting a voicemail from Ellen when I was at work. And she was like,
Ellen is your client.
Ellen's my client.
Okay.
And so I had had years of just like not the greatest relationships. And so I had been at a point now where I was like single and I had my dog and I had my house and my salon. And I'm like, life's great.
You're like killing it.
Like, I don't need a man.
No.
I'm great. I got my dog Cooper. Like, we're buddies.
You're like, I got my business rocking. Yeah.
And so I get this voicemail at work one day and Ellen's like, hey, you know, I have this guy I want you to meet. Like, he's great guy, family guy, grew up in the country, you know, tall, all the things. Never mentioned anything about who he was or what he did for work. I just assumed he was like a local, because I was never going to leave Fresno.
You love Fresno.
I loved Fresno. And I was like, this is my place.
Just being, you grew up there.
Grew up there. And it was like, it's a great like place for family. And my family was there. I never went away to college. So it wasn't like I experienced anything else. And I just, yeah, I loved it. I had the business. I had all my clients. And I just always had that mindset of like, I'm never going to leave here.
Yeah.
And then.
So then
I was wrong.
Ellen says, I got this dude. So, had John hit yet? He was in the middle of like really breaking out.
Right? So I think he had just won ACM's new artist of the year.
And did you know who he was?
No.
So were you a country music fan?
I've always listened to country.
But you didn't like, know
since
John
day
was?
One. But I don't know any names anymore. It's like, I mean, I knew like Garth Brooks, Alan mm-hmm. Jackson, George Strait.
Like the OGs that we grew up with.
When you used to like go out and actually buy, you know, CDs or like cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Back at the, you know, then it, now it's just like you stream things. So you don't necessarily know who it is. You just hear a song.
Yes.
So I'd heard his songs, but I had no idea. And
you didn't really know what he looked like.
No. And at this point, when I had this voicemail, I didn't even know who he was. And so then she's like, call me if you want to know more.
So like, I'm well, like, well, heck yeah.
So I call her and I'm like, tell me more about this guy. Like, when can I meet him? And she's like, well, he's in country music. And I was like, no.
You're like, no, why?
Not interested.
Like, why?
Like, I don't know. I didn't want to be a part of this whole, like, my initial thought was sex, drugs, rock and roll, and like groupie hoes, which, you know, obviously I've been proven wrong, but
right.
That was my initial thought. Yeah. I was like, that's a whole different life. Like, obviously that means no Fresno. And so I was kind of like, and so I talked to a couple of my girlfriends about it and they're like, 50-50, like half of them were like, go for it. What do you have to lose? And the other half was like, I don't like the way that sounds. Like, mm-hmm. we're with you on that. Don't meet him. And so he was actually in my hometown.
So had you Googled him and now you know
so then I Googled
like,
him and I was like,
oh,
okay.
He's so cute.
Yes, adorable, like freaking modern day Elvis. I mean, and James Dean-ish.
Stinking precious.
So sweet. And so he...
So you already know you have to meet him because he's so stinking cute.
But I still was like... it was one of those things, like, I'm not like really adventurous.
Yes, you are. You grew up with a wild man as a dad.
Yeah, but as far as like, I'm such a routine person. Like, John makes fun of me because I have the same breakfast every day.
What is it?
A scrambled egg.
Just one?
I mean, sometimes I might do like a fried egg. But one egg and some coffee.
You scrambled just one egg.
I don't love breakfast. Like, I'd rather save my calories for like a really good lunch or dinner. But
so you're just
breakfast
gonna...
is so boring to me.
Scramble one good
just
old
one
egg.
I make him three eggs and then he's like, could I get some meat? Like, like, okay. So I made, you know, whatever he wants,
like,
but
bacon or sausage.
I'm just
or
easy. Like, I don't want to be like full in the morning.
You just want to get going.
Yeah. So okay, that's like, I was a
girl.
Routine person. So I'm like, this breaks my routine. Mm-hmm. This breaks my like wake up Fresno, work Fresno, everything Fresno related.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't sure about it. I was so set in my ways.
Right.
And so my best friend was like, get the hell out of Dodge. Like, you need to shake it up.
Shake it, girl.
So, and she had been married at this point, and like, I'm like, okay, so I need to venture out. So he was performing in my hometown, but I happened to be in Vegas.
Okay.
And my friend, they're like, cancel your trip. I'm like, no.
What were you doing in Vegas?
With friends.
Just having a weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
So we had a group of us in Vegas and I'm like, I'm not going to cancel this. I don't even know the guy.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not going to cancel my trip for something that's probably not going to even pan out.
And so, and mind you, John didn't even text me until the day of his show.
Stop.
Like, hey, you know, this is John. Like, your client gave me your number. And if you want to come to the show tonight with some of your friends, like, would love to meet you. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not here. So, and we just kind of like played it nonchalant.
Okay, so that was his initial meeting.
That just was his initial, like,
come out and hang.
Just shoot you a text in the dark, like, hi. So,
so it didn't happen.
Didn't happen. I was like, I'm in Vegas. And so then that went into like, well, when are you free?
Okay, so he's still pursuing.
So I think I said something like, maybe next time you're in town. He's like, well, that could be like a year from now, which obviously I didn't know how that whole lifestyle worked.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, I'm free. I have 2 days in Denver that following week where he had two shows and they happened to be like both in Denver. So he was going to be, you know,
stationary.
And so I'm like,
so
is he
like, come see me?
Is that so what he's he means? Like, can I fly you out here?
What? Y'all have never even met?
And so...
Whoa, Summer. You guys have never even met?
No, and he looked at my picture for like... He said, I looked at your picture for 3 days. And then I decided I'd call it. I'm like, okay.
God. If he wasn't a cute country star, that would be super creepy.
So
wait, I looked at your picture for 3 days?
Looked at your picture for like 3 days and I figured I'd call you. I was like, oh, you're so romantic. My God.
I mean, that is kind of sweet in a kind of creepy way.
And so... I was like, okay.
I'm just kidding. It's not creepy. That's really sweet.
I thought it was kind of, I mean, there's a little thing of creepiness in there. If I don't know you and I'm not going to, like, I don't have an escape plan. Like, I can't just get in my car and drive back to California.
I guess because you trust your client, you know that he's going to be a decent person.
So I did have that.
You know she's not going to set you up with a serial killer.
Yeah, no Ted Bundy's here.
So he's like, let me fly you.
So he's like, let me fly you to Denver. And I was like, can I bring a friend? I'll pay for her flight. Like, I'm not asking. Like, I was like, I'm not asking you to pay for her. I just, do you mind if I bring someone? I just don't know
you.
You. Like, very just, like, we put it out there.
Because I just don't know who you are.
And he was totally, he's like, that's totally fine.
Summer, I freaking love you.
He got my flight. I got her flight. It was great.
Were you nervous?
I was so nervous. Every other day that week, I was like, I'm going to cancel. I even at one point, I think I tried to cancel because I had got my confirmation from his travel agent, but I couldn't change my flight because it had been booked third party.
Okay.
So I was like, oh shit.
You're stuck.
I'm stuck.
Like, it's happening.
And so.
And you know what? You're ready. You're ready for some adventure.
Yeah.
You got your friend. You got your backup. Okay.
And my friend had been going through like a rough relationship time. So on the days that I was like, I don't want to go. I'm nervous. I'm scared. She's like, we're going. Like, I need this trip. We're going. You need to go. We're going. Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm dying to know how this played out. So, how did the trip play out?
The night that I was packing, the power goes out.
In your house?
In my house. Okay. Like, the whole neighborhood. And I'm like, is this a sign? Am I supposed to go? Like, oh my God. So anyways, I ended up going. We get there. You know, my girlfriend and I, we go to the hotel. We get all dressed up for this first meeting. And he's performing at Blue Moon Brewery. It's like a little radio show. So it was a small private gig.
How long did you think about your outfit, that first outfit?
I think I had it like nailed down on the flight over.
Okay.
I was like casual, not too like, I had like black jeans on and an army like t-shirt.
Yeah, because you want jewelry. You want to like try, not but too not hard. Too hard.
Yes. And oh, so... Yeah. I was feeling really good. Like, I was feeling confident. Like, even if we don't click, like, this will be a fun girls' weekend. And I didn't have any weird nervousness. It was very interesting for me. I don't know. So we go in and he's like, when you get here, call this number. And it was his tour manager. And he goes, my guy will come out and get you. And
I'm like, I mean, this is one heck of a way to meet somebody.
Right. So I see his tour manager, Trey, coming around the corner. I'm like, okay, here we go. So he takes us back to where John and the guys are, like, just hanging out before the show. And it was, like, nothing. It was like we'd known each other for years.
So was y'all's initial conversation easy?
So easy.
What did y'all
Which
talk
is
about?
Awkward because I'm so shy.
You are?
Yes.
I'm so freaking shy.
Yes.
No.
I've gotten better being out here and being in John's life. Like, you're forced to not be.
I do not feel like you're shy.
I'm so shy.
Really?
So awkward, yeah.
Oh my God, you do not seem that way.
It's so bad. But
so how did the initial meeting go? Like, when you walk in the room, what happens?
Honestly, it was such a blur. I think I was so excited and it was just like this energy that I had never experienced before when meeting someone. And obviously I was like, oh my God, he's so hot and tall. Like sexy tight jeans and cowboy boots and a hat. Oh my God.
You're like, did I dream you up?
And so I don't even know what we talked about. It was probably something about how we met. I don't even know. But it just flowed and we were laughing and it was like the band guys were so nice. And it was literally like we've been friends for forever. And my girlfriend, I mean, she's freaking hilarious. And so.
So did she have fun too being the third wheel?
Oh, we had a great time.
So she
had so much fun. No.
Being like your sidekick?
No. She had a blast. And we had that first night, we watched his show, which was super fun. And we ended up going to dinner afterwards.
You, John, and your friend?
And two of his band members.
Okay.
And we had great dinner at a steakhouse. Then we went to a champagne bar after, had way too much champagne. And then we went back to the hotel and John, of course, was like, can you like come cuddle? And I'm like, no, sir. I don't like, nice try. And he was trying so hard. It was so cute. Cause he was like, I just want to talk to you and like cuddle. And I'm like, uh-huh. And so he walked.
That's cute that he said you want to come cuddle.
It was sweet. He walked us back to our room, my girlfriend and I.
No.
I said no.
Summer said no.
I said no.
Go, girl. Mm-hmm. After that whole first roll-in meeting, it'd be hard to say no to a little
I was
time.
Like, you're welcome to come hang out with us for a bit. And so he came to our room for maybe like 20 minutes. And then he's like, you sure you don't want to come cuddle? I'm like, I'll see you tomorrow. And I had told him that day, I said, I had a girlfriend and her husband that lived in Denver. And I was like, we're going to go.
Just like this, I don't come undone. Yeah.
Today. Oh.
Yeah. You're good. You're perfect.
I'm unscrewing the cord. So I said, we're going to brunch tomorrow if you are interested in coming, like no pressure. I know you might be busy. And of course his first response earlier that day when we first met was, yeah, you know, like I probably have like an interview or something. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, okay, totally. Okay. Good. So the next morning I just gave him like a courtesy text of like, hey, I know you said you might have like things going on, but we're going to brunch at 10 if you want to come.
Yeah.
And he's like, pick me up out front. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay.
The interviews fell through.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had brunch with my friends. It was fun. It was like chill. And then it turned into a whole day. And like we went to the mall in Denver and we went shopping. He had the day off the whole day.
And no show that night.
No, he had a show that night at the Drizzly Rose.
Okay.
Which is like super honky tonk.
And fun.
So fun. And that was like his first real show that I was going to see. Because the previous night was just like
at a bar,
guitar pool thing. Okay, yeah. So we spent the whole day with like his buddy Mal flew in and he's a comedian. He's a freaking crack up and his girlfriend and their friend. It was just like a whole group of us that like met and just got along so well.
It was so easy.
And we like walked around the mall and went shopping and had drinks and like just, I don't know. It was just fun. And
were you like nervous? Like tingly
I was
excited?
Totally nervous. I was so nervous. And then like at one point he was walking behind me and put his hands on my waist.
Oh.
And I was like, done. Game over. But it was nice to experience that and have
like you had butterflies.
Yeah,
like you're just like I am
toast. I text my mom and I said something like, sell my house, sell my clothes and send my dog.
Like I'm done.
Done. And she was like, oh shit.
Okay.
So and then she was like, you know, remember when you sent me that text message? And she's like, I told Allie, who's my best friend, she's like, I told Allie, like I think she's serious. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep. So that was it. So then I flew home.
And how did you feel when you flew home?
I was
so sad.
Were
you a changed person?
I was so sad, but also so like giddy. And it was so funny because that night at the Drizzly Rose, they had bus call at like 1 a.m. And so we had the show. We like danced. We hung out. We had our first dance to Wheeler Walker Jr.
Oh, that's so romantic.
So romantic.
That's kind of awesome.
I have that on camera, on film. And okay. So.
What was the song? Something so cool. Sure.
Drop them out. Let me see them knockers. Oh, it was flawless. We had a flawless dance.
Yeah.
And as the bus was leaving that night, he was like, waving out the window.
John was?
Yeah.
So he was smitten kitten.
I remember he was telling me that he was texting like his manager and stuff. Like, I just met this girl and like, she's the real deal or something. Or like, she's like a walking Carl's Jr. commercial. Like whatever his funny things, I don't know. He was so funny. And then like Jen Wayne, I met her recently after that, after meeting him. And she was like, oh my God, John texted me when he met you. And I was like, I have to meet this girl because he was totally in it. I'm like, okay, that's good to know. Like, we're on the same page. And so that last day with him, he had asked me to come back and be his date for the CMT Awards, which was like a month later. Okay. And I was like, oh shit. Like, okay.
All right. That's a big
deal. I'll come. And he had his people book my flight like right then. And I'm like, I'm going. I guess I'm going. So that was a month in between which we wouldn't see each other. And
so how did the communication go?
Nonstop. Texting, phone calls, which I had never been a phone call person.
So y'all are like talking on the phone all the time?
All the time. And I hate phone talking.
Like every day?
Every day.
Texting, talking?
Yes. And so my best friend, when I got home, you know, we were talking about it and John and I were texting and she's like, you're not going to see each other for a month? And she was like reading our text messages and she's like, that's not going to work out. She goes, you need to go like see each other now.
Yeah.
And so I had the ability to move my clients, which is great. And so I'm like, okay, I can make this work where I can cram everybody into like 2 days and then take off again. And so I then met him like 4 days later in Nebraska.
Okay. And how was that? Did y'all have cuddle time that time?
We totally had cuddle time.
And was
it was
great?
So awkward. Like like rolling my suitcase up to the bus. And I'm like, do we kiss?
Cause had y'all kissed yet?
He kissed me goodbye.
So y'all had just had like one kiss.
We had like one kiss. Yeah.
Was it like a big kiss or is it just like a little kiss?
It was a medium kiss.
Okay.
Sloppy, not too long.
Okay. Okay. And that was it. Then you're out there.
And then it was like, bye.
So that's what you left with. Like, yes. Totally. Okay. Cliffhanger.
So, yeah. So then that week later I went and met him and it was like.
Did y'all kiss right away?
No. Like I was so nervous and I think he was nervous. It took about an hour.
And then how did it happen?
Then we were like cuddling on the bus. And then he just reached over and like pulled my face and kissed me. And that was that.
Oh my gosh, I died.
Done deal. Oh. So yeah, that was my first time being on the bus. And I was spoiled because it was just John, his bass player and tour manager. It was I think he was out with Tim and Faith. And so it was not the full band. So that was a good intro to my first bus experience. Because then the following trip was like 2 weeks later. I started doing like a 2 weeks on with him and then a week home working and then back for 2 weeks. And that was the rest of my life from that point on.
So it never stopped.
It never stopped. And
did y'all just become official right then?
No, it took a couple months, I think.
It did?
It took, yeah, for him to call me his girlfriend.
How did that happen?
That was hilarious. He like we had talked about things like, are you seeing other people? Because I'm not, just want to make sure we're on the same page. And he's like, nope, all about you, like blah, blah, blah. But you never know, like it's new. And so
did you still have fears of like your initial fears of what like dating a musician
for
would be
sure.
Like?
Yeah, because there were weekends that I wasn't out and you see things on Instagram, mm-hmm. Can't help it. But I just had a feeling about it that I was like, okay, I trust this. And it was a good thing and a good feeling. And when I saw him and like, we talked so much like before show, after show, throughout the rest of the night, all the time. And so, I think it was probably 5 months in, we were on the bus one night and somebody said something and he was like, oh, this is my girlfriend. And I was like, oh, you want to talk about that? Because I didn't agree about that. I mean, like, you want to talk about
it? I didn't know anything about this.
But yet. It was sweet. It was like proud moment of like, she's mine. Like, let's make this official. And so, of course, it felt good for me. And in my mind, it was already like a thing, you know. And so that was that. And then a couple weeks later, we were having Thai food for lunch. And he, out of nowhere, was like, so when you move here, are you going to bring your car? And I was like, again, do you want to talk about this?
So he just makes up his mind. Like, it's
just
happening.
Like, she's coming. And so, yeah, so that's, I moved. I think it was, we met in May and I moved out here officially for Christmas.
And did you just like sell your.
I sold my house. My best friend and I had built houses side by side. And that was amazing. That was an awesome experience for 2 years. And we both sold our houses and her husband found a great house. And I just sold mine. Sold my car.
What about your salon?
I met John. So October, before I met John, it was like 4 months before I met him. my lease was up at my salon. And so it was either renew or figure out plan B. And I didn't love the business side of the business. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved hair and I'm so passionate about hair. And I think being such a small business, I wasn't willing to give up the control. And so I had a lot on my plate of stress wise of like taxes and just managing a business thing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause my art is doing hair.
Mm-hmm. And so the business side is kind of like frustrating.
Yeah. And so, I talked with the girls and I, you know, was like, what's your guys' thought on if I don't renew for Tangled, do we move, you know, to like these little individual suites kind of thing? And we had options. And so long story short, everything worked out perfectly. Like, there couldn't have been a more perfect ending to that whole situation. So we all still got to work together, but we had our own private suites. Mm-hmm. And every girl got to be basically their own boss.
Okay.
And they had their own like business name. And then after I met John, that's when Allie opened up her salon, and then all the girls went to her place.
So it kind of was just seamless.
It was seamless. Like, in the craziest way, which people always say, like, everything happens.
And when it's supposed to happen, it works out.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then never in my life have I experienced that in a truer form. Like, from me meeting John, like, actually from the business not renewing first was like, okay, let's make a decision to not renew that. And then I met John and I'm like, damn, if I had kept Tangled, I wouldn't be able to travel the way I was. Mm-hmm. And then selling my house and my best friend getting pregnant. And so it was just like, it all worked out so crazy. So, and it was so meant to be.
Does it make you trust like things more, or timing of life?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Which I didn't say I doubted it when I was, you know, growing up, the whole thing, but it's definitely like,
you've okay, seen it play out in your
own
life.
It's real deal. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, when something's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that you have to like allow yourself to follow
for
it?
For sure. If I would have not gone. All this. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
So, okay. So how are the CMT awards when you went to your first award show?
It was fun. I didn't walk the carpet with him or anything. So I was thinking that I was going to have to do all that. And I was so freaked out. And then it was like a relief of like, okay, we're just going to go. And he walked the carpet and did his thing. And I hung out with his managers, which are awesome. All like majority girl team he has, mm-hmm. which was so cool. And they're so sweet. And we got all dressed up. He had a lady that did my hair and makeup. And
so he got it all set up for you?
He had it all set up.
Stop.
And
it.
So.
Stop it.
It was so sweet.
He's such a cowboy, but he's so thoughtful.
I know. It was sweet. It was fun. We ended up leaving right after. I forgot if he was presenting something. I'm so bad. But we ended up leaving. We went to dinner at Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse, which was my first experience there. And it was so good. And it was just a fun night. We ended up going bowling after that with some friends. And that was it. It was like over like that.
Were you nervous to like walk into the country music?
I was
community?
So nervous. And I had to meet everybody.
And what did you think about meeting like people that you've seen on TV?
Everyone was so nice. And it was like, no, I thought it was going to be weird, but like the first, before this even happened, he had CMT interviews like the day before the CMT awards. And so we were at the CMT headquarters downtown, and I was literally standing elbow to elbow with Keith Urban, and they were talking all buddy buddy. And I'm like, what is this life?
Were you normal?
I mean, I was kind of dying inside, but I was very composed. John was like, I'm shocked you weren't like crazy or like asking for pictures. And I'm like, well, I mean, I would never do that, but I was definitely dying inside.
Yeah. It's Keith
for sure. Like dying inside. I mean, everybody that was in there, I was like, wow. Like, and they're all just normal people.
Yeah.
And they're so nice. And it was just like, just another day at the job.
Have you felt, now that you've been with John 2 years, cause y'all just had your 2 year anniversary. Mm-hmm. Do you feel now like super comfortable in the country music community around everybody?
Yeah. It's just like friends and family, mm-hmm. in a sense.
Everyone is so inviting.
So nice. Even if you don't know them, or like we passed, John performed the Nissan thing for CMA Fest with Thomas, and the whole like Little Big Town gang was there. And I do one of the wife's hair And they all, like, I haven't met any of them really formally, but they were all like, oh my God, hey girl. And I was like, that's sweet. Like, this is awesome. They're just, everyone's so nice. Mm-hmm. So.
It is. Something about country music is so down home.
Yeah.
Good people. Yes, they have these awesome careers, but it's still just regular people.
Yeah.
Everybody's like that.
Totally normal. So it's nice. It was, I was pleasantly surprised, being that my initial thought of this whole lifestyle was like, you know, all bad things.
Right. Well, that's what you see growing up behind the music.
Yeah.
On VH1, all that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been good.
Okay. So how have the 2 years been moving away from Fresno, leaving Fresno that you swore you would never leave? Mm-hmm. Now you're like on the road all the time. This girl who loves her routine, never probably has one. How has that all been?
It's been great.
What has it taught you about yourself?
That, I mean, basically that I just had more patience than I ever thought I had, really. And that I am open to not being in control of my life and every part of it, which was tough.
What have you found to be the benefit of being open and not in control?
You're just happier.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you experience things that you could just never have imagined?
Yes. And it, you know, cause like, when I was in Fresno, everything, like I said, was routine. And I had, you know, it was literally like, if I didn't have my stevia drops for my coffee, if I was out or I didn't get all four of them, it was like my day was ruined.
Really?
And it just, like, it would throw it off and I'd be like, oh my God. And it, so being, you know, in this so lifestyle now that's with like the John, least of your worries. Yeah. So it's like, I don't have, I mean, even if I wanted to have a routine like that, it's really kind of impossible. So it's like the adjustment from living out of a suitcase and eating whatever you can at catering and sleeping when you get to sleep. Like, it's just, it's been fun.
Did it take a moment for you to adjust to it, or did you get into it right away?
I got into it right away.
How did you somehow just change?
I have no, I think I was just so in love and so willing to do whatever. Like this, I just, even my best friend, she's like, I don't know who you are.
So have you like morphed into a different person kind of? Obviously the same
person, but so much more like, I don't know what the word, like not lax, I don't know. Like
laid back.
Yeah. Which I've always been very laid back personality wise, mm-hmm. but lifestyle wise, it was, you know, I had to be in control of everything.
So now you're, so it's freedom.
Like it's freedom. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. And it's, I still have my moments. You know, like when we are home for a period of time and then we have to go back on the road, I'm like,
I was so comfortable with my home routine.
Like, it's been so healthy. And okay.
So how's living together been? Because y'all have this beautiful house.
Living together has been fun.
What have you learned about yourself and John living together?
He's the first guy that I've ever dated / lived with that I didn't pick apart.
Okay, now
like
why is that?
I think it's just because I genuinely am connected to him or with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. And so like the little things don't irritate me.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's some things like now, like leaving dirty clothes next to the hamper on the floor.
That is just a guy thing. I swear. Right? Michael just takes his clothes off and just puts them on the ground wherever he is.
I'm like, it's literally right next to the hamper, John.
Right.
Right next to the hamper.
I swear. Guys, stupid. That's such a guy thing.
But I just laugh. Like, like an ex-boyfriend, I would have been like fuming over. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, because it's so him. It's so, and like, it's just a dude thing, but it's just funny. And it's like, it's almost sweet in a sense because it's so
obvious.
Yes. And I'm like, come on, dude. But it's just, it's good. I used to be a person that was so into my alone time. Mm-hmm. Like, I would turned down hanging out with friends because I was like, no, it's my, like, it's 7:00 p.m. I'm like coming home from work and it's me and my dog and I want to chill. And so that was the biggest adjustment, I think, was being with someone 24/7. Mm-hmm. And not only being with them 24/7, but being on a tour bus half the week.
Right. In a very small space.
A very small space. And the first 8 months, it was John and I and 12 other guys.
Dang.
And so we went from that, which I literally don't know. Like, and even the guys, we all laugh looking back when we talk about stories of how the heck did you do that?
And you loved it.
I loved it.
And it didn't bother you. I loved
it. It did not bother me.
And none of the guys' gross, smelly ways got on your nerves?
I think the worst part was like, and John always says it's the funniest thing I've ever said, was how I've never seen so much urine on a toilet seat on the bus. But like, you just deal with it. Yeah. And like, I would keep like little Clorox wipes and I just wipe it down. Like old Summer would have been like, I am not staying on here. Oh my God. Like, but I just went with it and it was fun. And then we ended up going from that bus to a bus with John's bass player and his tour manager. And then John and I, and that was great. And now it's just John and I on a bus, which is
awesome.
Even better.
Don't bring all the dogs?
We do not. Okay. Bear, we're going to try to bring Bear out because he's the most.
Is that the new one?
That's the new one. That's the doodle mix.
Is he kind of the favorite now?
He's he's my favorite. I think he's maybe John's favorite, but he won't say that. Cowboy's always going to be John's favorite.
Right, because Cowboy's the OG.
Cowboy's his baby. But Cowboy will like nip at people.
And Bear's just a cuddle bug.
Bear's just a big goober. He's like, no, I'm Bear. But I'm curious to see. We'll have to find a short run where we can bring him out for like a night. Like we're doing a show in Georgia one night for 4th of July, or the 3rd of July, actually. So I'm like, maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Quick up and back and see how he does on the bus. Because he's a bear dog with high anxiety. We have doggy Xanax for him.
Sweet buddy.
So he's so sweet. So we'll see.
So you have just completely uprooted your life. You now live in Nashville. You go on the road all the time. You live with boys that pee on the toilet. You have no routine and you love it.
I love it. It's
Isn't
good.
That crazy?
I know.
Probably you would have never dreamed that you could be
never
happy
in a million years ever.
So what does that just go to you? Like now where you are now after like how you've grown up meeting John, all this change within you. What is your takeaway on just like rolling with it?
I think it's the best thing you can do for yourself in life and for the people around you.
Why is it so hard to do that though?
I think it's just a control thing, or maybe it's like a fear. I don't know.
Like what's the underlying fear?
Change, I guess. I mean, for me, it was change.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, John's the complete opposite of me, so he couldn't even help me figure out what was wrong with me or why I had such a fear of giving up things and changing my ways or changing my location. But I think it's great. I think it's great to allow yourself to let go and see where it takes you, because, I mean, there's so many opportunities that I could have missed or maybe I have missed in the past, you know, with being the way that I was. And so that's weird to look back and think like, what, like, had I not been so dead set in my ways, where would I have been? But then again, I would never met John.
And you let it all go at the right time.
It all go.
That's
yeah.
all perfect timing.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about John that maybe people don't know?
Mm. He doesn't keep much private about him. Like his personality, obviously hilarious, but I think the whole world knows that. Like I can look at him or he can look at me in the car and we'll just be busting up with no words or anything. But
he's always making you laugh?
Always. And I think my favorite part is how sentimental he is. Like we had our first all out, like blowout fight over Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
How'd that go?
Because I'm a control freak and my Christmas tree was like the Mona Lisa of Christmas trees. And I was so proud of it. Like he was so irritated when he had a show in California and I was like, okay, I'm going to put all my Christmas decorations on the bus and we'll get them back to Tennessee. Cause like Christmas is my thing.
Like you wanted to decorate a tree on the bus?
No. But like I had to get all my stuff. Like I sold everything in my life basically, but I kept my Christmas decorations because I've spent like years collecting that.
Okay. So this is a big deal. And
Christmas
so they were still in Fresno.
It's like my jam. So when it came time for Christmas, I was like, we are getting my ornaments, my trees, everything.
Yes.
So we set up a tree and I was so proud of it. And he was like, it looks like a grandma did it. And I'm like,
oh, this hurt your feelings.
Okay. That's cool. Rude. So he was like, where's all the fun ornaments? And I'm like, what fun ornament? He goes, like the fun, like childhood ornaments. And I'm like, you can't put fun ornaments on my Mona Lisa tree. Okay. And so we're sitting at the table one night and he's online ordering like Minion ornaments and Toy Story ornaments. And I'm like,
he's going to wreck your tree.
He's going to wreck my tree. And I'm like, why don't we just get you a tree for the office? and we'll do that like a fun tree. And he's like, why don't you just let me put my ornaments on the tree for the family tree? And I'm like, I was getting so fired up. And this goes back to me.
This really went down to the core.
It went down. I mean, I was like blood boiling, and he was too. Like,
because he's like, what in the world? Let me put my fun ornaments on. But you're like, oh my gosh, why do you not appreciate this beautiful tree?
And so, I mean, when I say this was our first all out, like I was screaming.
Are you serious?
I'm like, you don't understand. That's like putting a poop emoji on the Mona Lisa. You can't do that. And he was like, why are you being so crazy? He's like, it's Christmas. Like, you're supposed to have fun ornaments. And I'm like, it's my tree. Like, I just, and then, so the worst part about this was I then text my best friend, and we're sitting at the table, and I text her like, I'm so freaking mad. He's being so mean. And I sent it to John across the table.
Oh,
and so he,
said it's the wrong
I
person.
Was like, oh shit. And at that point I just had to start laughing. And then he started laughing. And I was like, it was like this aha moment of, why am I so crazy and controlling over my Christmas, like over anything in life? Like, all he wanted was to have sentimental ornaments of like a lawnmower. And he's like, I ordered you a lawnmower, babe. Like, cause I have a John Deere here at the house. And he's like, I got you the green John Deere lawnmower for your ornament. And he's like, and I got your dad a zebra. And like and then I was like, I'm such a dick. Like, I am such an asshole. He is so sweet and so sentimental. Like, he's not ordering these just to be like,
hey, let me
ruin
your tree.
Like, he got his grandma a little bottle of Tito's, like the, you know, travel size.
Cause she loves Tito's.
Cause Noni loves dirty, like not dirty martinis, but she does, but she drinks vodka, like
water.
Just a solo cup filled with vodka. And so everything had, like they were all meaningful to him in a way, which I didn't realize. That was our, you know, like I never knew his Christmas history and he didn't know mine. And so he's like, the sweetest part about him is that I think people maybe they don't see that part as how sentimental he is. And it is so freaking sweet. And so that was I learned something big that day.
So do you think that let you let go of control even more?
Yeah.
You're just like dropping control left and right.
I know.
Summer, you're going to turn into like a full blown hippie.
I know. But it's good.
Peace, love, and freedom over here.
I'll still always have that little smidgen in the corner.
Just in the corner. You can't get rid of all of it.
No. Still got to be me.
That's right.
But yeah.
I'm impressed though with like how aware you are of everything too.
Mm-hmm. I try. I was in therapy before I met John. My whole life I had never like been to therapy or anything. And then prior to meeting him, I had seen this great lady for like 5 weeks. And I was so excited about the idea of like seeing someone. Cause it was always like, everyone puts like a weird thing, like they're ashamed or something of talking to someone. And I'm like, it's a great unbiased opinion and just like an outlet. And so she's the first one that really helped me, I think, in leading up to meeting John of her. She was like, you should go and just let go and like be free. And I'm like, that's where it all started. So it kind of like a snowball effect, meeting her and talking
with
her.
You're already working on yourself and you're already becoming aware.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay. And then it all evolves into this. And I'm like, thankful for it.
So what does success look like to you? Not like just monetarily or career wise, just like a successful life.
Happiness.
And what is happiness? Like, how does that play out? If you were going to design happiness, or like, what is it?
It's a tough question. I mean, for like my life in particular,
mm-hmm. For you. What fills you with the most happiness? Like, what do you want your life to feel like, to look like, to be full of, to have a happy life? What is that to you?
I'm so bad at answering questions.
No, you're great at them.
I don't know. I mean, I think just healthy balance and doing what you want and being who you are. Obviously, if you're in a relationship, being happy in that and being open, you know, to communication with that and not holding back anything. And if you love your job, you love your job. If you don't love your job, find something you do love. I love my job. I love my boyfriend. I love our dogs. I love our friends. So I'm happy. That's success, in my opinion, a successful life, full circle of just find what you love and stick with it.
What do you think makes a successful relationship? Because John said something so sweet. He's like, this is the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. He was talking about with you.
Yeah.
So what makes y'all's relationship so healthy?
Communication, 1,000%.
So y'all are great at communicating.
Yes. It's been a slow road to it. Because when we first met, you know, if there was anything that ever like hurt my feelings or if he did something, I'd be like, you know, can we talk? And he's like, maybe we just shouldn't be together. And I'm like, well, maybe we should just talk. How about that idea? Because he, and, you know, I don't, his past is his past. And he's, you know, never had a relationship where he had to communicate or be open to these things. And so I'm like, well, let's be adults and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that and just respect, like, especially with his lifestyle, there's girls everywhere and there's Instagram and things that, you know, come up on Instagram. And it's just communication and respect and love for one another definitely make it and keep it.
How do you deal with all the girls?
I mean, I think it's funny most of the time. Like I love how much girls love him because I love him and I see what they see and then they see it 10 times more somehow. But most of the time they're respectful, which is great. And then, you know, there's always going to be those that aren't, which we just laugh about it at the end of the day. But
does John make you feel safe within y'all's relationship? Yes. And the girls?
Yeah. Yeah. There was the other night we were out and this drunk guy was like total party fan. He was in his 30s or so. And he brought these two girls over, which clearly I was there with John, mm-hmm. but we had some other friends in the setting. And, this guy, I mean, it's just these two girls that came over and this one girl sat down next to him and you could tell, I mean, they had some cocktails and she was
working it.
She was on a mission.
Yeah.
And John looks over and he's like, babe, you good? Like, you good? And I'm like, I'm good, babe. You do your thing. You talk to those girls. But he's always sweet about just, you know, casually being like, this is my girl. Mm-hmm. Like, I got you. You good? You good? So he's good at that. Cause I know it's part of the job. Like he can't be rude to people or he can't, you know, one girl asked him for a kiss in Australia. He's like, no, I can't do that. And I'm like sitting in the back seat and he's in the front passenger. And he's like, she's like, I'm married. It doesn't matter. And I'm like, oh my God. I like, oh, what is it with people? But he finds a way of, you know, having humor in it and making it, you know, so they're not offended or they're not like mad at him.
It's not making it a big thing.
Yeah. And then it still makes me feel comfortable. And he's been good about that since day one. So I'm lucky for that.
Okay. So I want to keep talking to you, but we're already at like an hour. So we're about to do an Instapot. We're having dinner after this, which I'm so excited about. For a minute, Summer, you were teaching me how to cook.
Yes, yes.
And I still need lessons.
Easy peasy recipes though.
Cause you're like a really awesome chef.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
What are your favorite things to cook?
You know, my salad.
Your salad. I mean, you do a good salad.
The salad's the best, but when we're home, we try to eat at home as much as we can. And it's always like Mediterranean chicken, easiest marinade ever. And then filet and salad. And we do like bacon wrapped asparagus and maybe some rice.
Love it.
But it's like, that's the routine. It's our routine.
Hey, I love it.
So.
But we're going to do some, what are we doing
coconut
tonight?
Chicken.
Curry.
Curry. So good. I'm with so butternut excited. Squash. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. It's going to blow your world.
I'm excited that you brought out this phenomenal recipe.
I can't wait.
Curry's my jam.
So I leave every interview with Leave Your Light.
Okay.
So just leave some inspiration to people listening on what you through all your life, through all of your journey, what you would like to share with people that you think they should know to help them in their life that you have learned?
I would say every day above ground is a day we're celebrating. So my mom always said this growing up when we go to dinner, they'd be like, are you guys celebrating anything? And you know, everyone's like, no. And she's like, life. Cause it is every day that you're happy and alive and healthy. And even if you're not healthy or even if you're not entirely happy, you're still alive and it's a great day. So that's my thing. So I always say that now when everyone, they're like, oh, you're celebrating them with life. Thanks, mom.
I love that.
So it's good. It keeps you grounded and it keeps you like in check mm-hmm. in those moments when you do go to dinner or lunch and they ask you that, just keep that in mind.
Every day above ground is a day worth celebrating.
It's a nice reminder.
Amen to that.
Yep.
Summer Fawn, Carolyn Duncan, it was such a pleasure having you on.
Over and out. It's been fun.
And this is your first podcast.
This is my first podcast.
You killed it.
I'm so excited for dinner.
Me too.
Okay, you're the best. Bye.
Bye.